This is the Carney Show on the Big 550 KTRS. John is out of town for a couple of days, so I get to play in the middle of the day in the middle of America. Hi, it's Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Harris Show. You can follow the radio station at 550 KTRS. And we're both on Facebook as well. Don't forget, I'm also here Friday afternoons between 3 and 6 for the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, which includes movie reviews from Colin Jeffrey and Knuckleheads in the News and the ever-popular Harris Challenge. That'll be tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 6. It's the way you know your weekend has begun. Later on this hour, I'll introduce you to an author named Julie Lithcott-Hames, who's written a fascinating new book called How to Raise an Adult. She was the dean of freshmen at Stanford University for about a decade or so and has been shocked at the effect of helicopter parents in this country and on the generation of children who get to school and don't know how to do anything, and mom and dad are always there. I'm going to ask her about one story I heard of who had one mother who kept calling and imitating her daughter, pretending it was her, to tell more stories about her essay on her application. Just a classic example of helicopter parenting. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. Speaking of students, Josh Schindler has been representing students in the Normandy School District for about 15 or 16 months now in their efforts to try to get out of that unaccredited school district and into a place where they can get a good education. Some of them have gone to Francis Howell. Some of them have gone to Rittner. Some of them have gone to Clayton and Ladue. Some of them into the city of St. Louis. Any place where they thought they could get a better education than the failed school district that is Normandy, and, of course, their neighbors in Riverview Gardens as well. There are new developments in the case, as a lot of students in our area started their new school year this week. There's still confusion for a lot of parents and their children in those two school districts, and in particular in Normandy. So I've asked Josh to join me here again and talk about it. Hi, how are you today?
Hi, Paul. How are you? It's nice to see you again and talk to you again on the radio.
Thank you. So where do we stand now? How many kids are still not being allowed to make the move to a school where they could learn what they're supposed to learn?
And that's the difficult part, Paul, because no one truly knows the numbers. Initially, you indicated I was involved for 15, 16 months. That's when I was formally legally involved in filing lawsuits. Approximately 2 years ago, I drafted a lawsuit and sent it to Normandy and Riverview Gardens and a bunch of other districts and said we have 2,200 kids that should transfer under the transfer statute, which is 167, 131 of the revised statutes, but we all call it the transfer statute. I sent the lawsuit, and the school districts almost promptly, immediately acquiesced, and we were able to effectuate the transfer of 2,200 kids.
How many of those kids actually ended up leaving Normandy and Riverview Gardens and going to those other school districts?
Well, in the beginning, it was a vast majority of the 2,200. There's a natural attrition. The district appointed by Normandy for transportation was Francis Howell. It was a long trip. Obviously, we disagreed. We believe and still believe that if a child wants to go to Clayton from Normandy, they should be allowed to go to Clayton and be provided transportation. But as part of a compromise, we agreed that these kids would be assigned districts. They would have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 designation, and we would try to give them their favorite district.
Mm-hmm.
But Francis Howell was the only one that you were provided transportation. It's a long trip, so there was a natural drop. But since that time, there's been a concerted effort by the school districts to put barriers in the place of these children to stop them from transferring.
And that's why you continue to take legal action against them, right?
That's right. So, for example, last year, one of the most unique moves I've seen is no one had the guts to say Normandy was unaccredited when the state took it over, so they tried to designate it as a public oversight district, and they said no more transfers because public oversight district means, quote-unquote, accredited. We disagreed. We filed suit, and Judge Burden issued a very strongly worded opinion that these children every day that they are in a district like Normandy, which, by the way, at the time had an abysmal 7.1 MCIP score, basically 7%. And provisionally accredited is 50, accredited is 70%.
So they on a scale of 100, the school district got a 7.
That is exactly right. And in the old days, when you used to take your SATs, you got a 200 score.
If you wrote your name, you got a 200.
So I always assumed that you at least got 10% if you know, Normandy filled out the paperwork.
Yeah, Normandy filled out the paperwork and put a double E at the end instead of a Y.
That must
have
been.
That's how you get a 7 out of 100.
And it's really an unbelievable state of affairs. Now, I will tell you, since that time, there's been some movement. We have a new superintendent who seems committed to the Normandy School District. He came in last summer. So there is some ray of hope towards Normandy, but they're a long, long way away from being accredited.
But still, you had families who had children who had been struggling in a school district that wasn't functioning properly, and whether there was corruption or ineptness involved, it was messing up the futures of many of these children in that school district. And now it's still going on. What is the current battle that you're fighting? You're still filing lawsuits on behalf of several dozen families, right?
Well, the most recent thing is the other day we sent a proposed lawsuit. So, for example, there are a series of parents. If you moved into Normandy this year, they argued that you could not transfer. And that's ridiculous. Someone who moves into Normandy is allowed to go to Normandy school, but they're not allowed to transfer. There are other families who said they filled out the paperwork correctly and Normandy rejected them because they didn't have an occupancy permit. And then there are special circumstances. So I drafted a lawsuit and I sent the lawsuit to counsel for the various school districts. And I must tell you, Paul, this was the one thing at least that pleased me a little bit, is that Normandy immediately engaged in a discourse with me to see whether we could avoid another round of litigation.
Mm-hmm.
And the issues involved those areas that we discussed. They gave a deadline to apply by the end of March, which I disagreed with. And I'm at least happy to report that Dr. Pearson, who took over Normandy, I'm talking with the council, obviously. I can't talk to the superintendent. But it seems like, at least at this point, compared to last year where we were going to the courthouse every single week, mm-hmm. That Normandy wants to engage in a constructive dialogue to see whether we can reach agreements on some fundamental point.
I want to go back to something you said, that there are people who have moved into Normandy whose children are allowed to go to Normandy schools but are not allowed to transfer elsewhere. Is that because there was some artificial deadline set up maybe in the first quarter of the year and a family might have stayed in their previous school district through the end of the year and so they moved either in the late spring or early summer and now they qualify as Normandy residents to go to Normandy schools but they don't qualify as Normandy residents to go to another school district?
Right, and that's an absurd position for anybody to take. If you can go to Normandy, if you are a resident of Normandy, regardless of whether when you became a resident of Normandy, you should be allowed to either go to Normandy mm-hmm. or participate in the transfer program.
Okay, now how are the other school districts doing with the kids that they have accepted? Because not every kid has had to put up a fight. Many of them continue to go, whether it's through transportation provided by somebody else or their parents giving them a lift to and from school every day. Do you have any idea how those kids are doing?
Interestingly enough, I know a member of the board of Kirkwood who has reported it's going extremely well. Obviously, once in a while, you'll hear rumblings, but what I am hearing is that these kids are doing a phenomenal job in their school district. Some of them were several years behind grade level when they came to a school like Ladue, like Kirkwood, like Clayton. And as we sit here today, because it's been a full 2 years since they've transferred, many of these children who were 2, 3, 4 years behind grade level are not only at grade level today, they're above grade level. What this has shown us is that if children are provided an educational opportunity they will meet and exceed our expectations. If we give them a school where there is fighting in the hallways, where the teachers are absentee, where the teachers don't care, where the teachers aren't fully committed to the cause, those children are going to be forever lost to us. And Paul, we're in a time in the St. Louis community where we're seeing unprecedented violence and racial strife. And at the end of the day, the critical thing, look, we have to feed our citizenry, we have to clothe them, but above all, we have to educate them. We have to provide them with a decent, not even a decent, a quality education. And if you give kids a quality education, they will grow up and they will contribute to society and they will help heal the wounds that we're hearing today.
Yeah, it's the first and biggest step on the ladder to success, whatever is going on for these kids. It's the Big 550 KTRS, Paul Harris, talking with attorney Josh Schindler, who's representing a whole bunch of kids who are still having trouble getting transferred out of the Normandy School District into one of the other accredited school districts in the St. Louis area. And there's a battle not only going on at the local front, but also at the state front. I read a piece earlier this week in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about how some of our legislators in Jefferson City are a little bit confused about some of these documents that they're supposed to oversee. Explain that to me if you can.
Well, I've got to tell you, there's been a comedy of errors going on relative to the transfer and what we're going to do about the curriculum. So there are two independent issues that have been going on, which are getting some play, but unfortunately are lost in the, you know, the third, fourth, fifth pages of the newspapers. Number one is there has been a change in the curriculum. There is a move away from the core curriculum. And therefore, there will be not, for purposes of accreditation, there will not be scores that someone can rely on for 3, 4, 5 years. What that means is we can have schools out there which are not performing. We can have schools out there which are not educating their children, but because this is a new testing methodology, those schools will not face any consequences for 3, 4, 5 years to go. Interestingly enough, while schools that are not teaching their children will not face any consequences for years to come because of this change in the curriculum, what the state has said is, by the way, Riverview Gardens and Normandy, you can get out of unaccredited status using these new test scores.
Even though they haven't gotten better and they haven't reached what would be normally considered accreditation level, because we don't have this and because of Common Core and because of the changes that are being made in Jefferson City, a school district that hasn't improved enough in reality will improve enough on paper.
That seems to be the argument. And, you know, we've seen examples where we try to run over this methodology that we've established. Normally, you need 3 years of test scores for a school to get out of a status where it's at least provisionally accredited. Mm-hmm. We've seen that issue in Kansas City where they allowed it 2 years. All of us know that there are deep troubles in the city of St. Louis schools. I question whether St. Louis City schools should be provisionally accredited or not. Well, you know, at the end of the day, the proof is in the numbers. Well, right now, regardless of what the numbers show, there will be no consequences for the teachers, for the administration. But who are going to face the pain are the students and their families. And we're going to lose yet another generation of our children to a faulty educational system. Frankly, this ties in, Paul, to the next issue, which is Jay Nixon sat up in June and announced this historical agreement to benefit Normandy and Riverview Gardens. He said that he got all 22 school districts together, and they were going to work together, and they had reached agreements to address the Normandy situation. Well, just 2 days ago, this issue came up between the House Budget Committee as to whether Nixon was forthcoming in this statement. And interestingly enough, after testimony after testimony after testimony, you heard from Ron Lanford, the assistant commissioner of DESE. You heard from Don Senti, who is with this organization called Education Plus. And the interesting thing about Education Plus is during this meeting with this historic agreement to address Normandy, Don Senti and Education Plus were named as someone who was going to audit what was going on in Normandy.
Mm-hmm.
And during this hearing, during this testimony, one of the things Don Senti said is there was no such agreement, and he was surprised as anyone that the governor announced that there was such an agreement. At first blush, it looks like the governor misled us. But what's interesting is Don Senti personally wrote a letter to the governor telling him to veto a purported fix to the transfer bill. Mm-hmm. And in that letter, he said there was an agreement. Paul, there's something stinky in Denmark. And part of the problem is, how can you fix an educational system if you can't believe your governor and you can't believe a group that he was going to have audit Normandy? It's time that we hold our politicians accountable to what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And Governor Nixon, if that was the reason that he vetoed the transfer bill, that he was misled by the superintendents. And so the rationale for vetoing the transportation, the transfer bill was faulty, then the governor should call a special session and say, guys, let's put, gang women, let's put this thing back on the table and let's address it.
The amazing thing about this, Josh, is that this is not the first time you and I have had this conversation, and it has been going on for years. And still, as you point out, a generation of kids in Normandy and Riverview and in the city of St. Louis are continuing to be left behind by adults who are not doing their job. And their job is to try to make an educational system that works for these kids. And if it doesn't work in place A, allow them to go to place B. But for these adults to keep getting it wrong and play political games from place to place, and sometimes it's a game of power. I understand that. Politics is so often about power, and somebody doesn't want a little chip at their power base. I completely understand that. But the fact that this is still going on after all these years turns my stomach.
Well, Paul, how can it not turn your stomach? We all love the St. Louis community. I have been a member, notwithstanding my accent, of the St. Louis community for over 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've raised four children who are all in public school in St. Louis. I am deeply committed to this community. But we are going to face the ravages of the Detroits of the world if we don't fix some fundamental problems. And one of the problems are we've got to stop this political squabbling. We've got to put every one of these people, I believe, deeply care about education, whether you're in favor of a pure pro-school choice or whether you're a strong, unbending advocate in favor of public education. But these groups have to talk. They have to address each other. They have to reach certain areas where they have common ground, and where they can't meet common ground, agree to differ. But we are no longer in a place where we cannot work together, because our community is falling apart. And you cannot have a community that can exist without a strong foundation. And one of the critical components of a strong foundation is a solid educational experience, not just for the kids in Ladue, not just for the kids in Clayton, not just for the kids in private school, but every single child in Missouri.
Very well said. Josh Schindler, attorney representing some of those kids who are not getting the opportunities that they deserve in Normandy and in Riverview Gardens. Thanks for coming back in today, Josh.
Always a pleasure, Paul.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.